Hey, brother, can ya spare the time? I can't decide where we should draw the line. A family dream's a yard stain. I can't accept this as our fate. I won't accept this as our fate. Neither wish upon the star of night. Will our people ever see the light? Is a new dawn just around the bend? Hey, brother, when's it gonna end? Don't want our children to look at us with disappointment and disgust. Wanna teach them to carry on, to be strong long after we're gone, to bear the torch long after we're gone. Night's a wish upon the star of night. Will our people ever see the light? Is a new dawn just around the bend? Hey, brother, when's it gonna end? Stand our ground, to not a cheek, no, not back down. And I see these people just standing there. They've no worries, no, they've no cares. They don't worry cause they don't care. Night's a wish upon the star tonight. Will our people ever see the light? Is a new dawn just around the bend? Hey, brother, when's it gonna end? As I wish upon this star tonight, will our people ever see the light? Is a new dawn just around the bend? Hey, brother, when's it gonna end?
Well, you got it, brother. When's it gonna end? When's it gonna end? I guess when it hits the bottom, it's gonna end. And this is War, War Radio, White Aryan Resistance, P.O. Box 65, Fallbrook, California, 92088. Subscribe to the Big War newspaper, that's $30 in the USA, $40 in Soviet Kanukistan, that's Canada, and $50 in all other countries. That's 12 issues, and send your checks and money orders to us and make those checks and money orders out to John Metzger, and you can use PayPal if you'd like to also. This radio show is being recorded on December 3rd, 2003. Our big website is at resist.com, and our email address, warmetzger@sbcglobal.net. If you'd like to be on our daily or bi-daily news report that we put out on the internet, simply email us and say subscribe. And every day or every other day, you receive quite a bit of information called from the news and so forth. Now, you may also call into our 24-hour update line, telephone line, and that is 760-723-8996. And on at this time, on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we put out approximately 15 to 20 minutes of up-to-date news. So that may be to your liking also. Check it out. 24 hours, and you can leave a message, and many times we'll use some of those messages on the radio show. Yes. Don't forget, we got hundreds of videos, historical videos, that really nobody else has got. Yeah, on the white racist movement. And we've got hundreds of audio tapes of historical information on the racist movement. And we sell books, too. And all of these sales are simply what keeps our programs going. We don't ask you for dues. We don't ask you for initiation fees. and your skin is your uniform. And we don't expect you to worship some high muckety-muck guru either. We're all in the same boat. We're all in the same foxhole. And we're talking to leaders out there is what we're looking for, leadership types. And leadership types, number one, know how to lead themselves. Most people who join membership organizations can't even lead themselves. So what good are they in a membership organization except to say yes, ma'am, to whoever is the guru? So we do it differently. Individual initiative and individual leadership. And some people even say that can be telepathic, that certain people who all think the same way tend to get little ideas that pop into their head almost like a party line on the telephone that they used to have back in the last century. So don't rule out that type of communications either. Of course, the Internet has changed everything. Nothing has been, is the same since the Internet. And the Internet is a great tool if you use it. And if you use it properly, it's even a better tool. Now, the great all-knowing Dr. Kaldenberg should be coming down the road pretty quick here. He's coming in from the desert, and he's got to go through this never-never land of Spics and Mexicans that are trying to waylay him every time he comes up here to the bunker. So we put up the periscope. Yeah, I see him down the road a piece there. He's coming. I see a trail of dust. I'm going to lean over here to my weapons of mass destruction console and lay down a little cover fire for the doctor coming up through the pass there. Go, doctor! Go, doctor, man. Those are 3 inches, man. We got them off an old naval ship out here. Oh, I'll tell you, those 3 inches really scatter those Spics. Well, there's still some chasing him up the road. We'll lay down some 50 caliber on those boys. I'll tell you, they hate that 50 caliber stuff. Yeah, well, we got him. He's coming up the hall now. He's almost here.
Well, Dr. Kaldenberg, I see you made it through the big log jam of the Spickaroos down there.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I got that damn war surplus 3-inch naval gun up here mounted on the old bunker.
So you got a 3-inch?
That's the gun.
Oh.
That's the other gun.
Well, I heard somebody had a 3-incher.
I got an 8-inch or something.
Oh.
There, but I'm not going to use that for this light work.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyhow, how's it been going, Doctor?
Pretty gravy.
Well, what do you mean by gravy?
I mean pretty cool.
Well, you worked your ass off on the holiday, didn't
That's
you?
That's true. Make more money.
Oh,
gotta,
man.
Got to compete with the Mexicans.
Hey, you hear the president's going to outlaw overtime?
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's going to knock this overtime thing way down. What's that going to do to your living?
I'm going to have to move somewhere to Sweden or something. What's he going to do? What he's going to do is probably have everybody on salary or something, because I know I'll still be working overtime, just won't be getting paid for it.
You think those guys will figure a way around that?
Oh, they probably
will.
They
always do, yeah. Okay.
Well, like in Arizona, what's that, a work, what do they call it?
Right to work.
Right to work state, yeah. You go there and you're lucky to get like a, you know, minimum wage job because none of the jobs pay worth shit over there.
Yeah, and when you go to a store, the stuff costs about a third more than it does here in California, too. So,
except for the gas. California's gas, you know, you pay a state tax and a federal tax. And, you know, you pay a tax upon the tax. They got a user's tax, and once you paid all the tax and the price of the gas, then they'll put a tax on. So we're paying a tax on top of a tax.
That's confusing. It's even bothering Jerry the Jew's grandpa.
We're probably the only
Jerry the Jew. He's getting all upset over there.
Well, that's why our gas is usually about $2 a gallon.
I'm going to have to bring Igor in here and quiet it down. But look, you know, I would call it a right-to-starve state.
Yeah, that's true.
Is that more like
it?
Yeah. Now, we got a whole crap load of calls. We've been off the air here for a while, and I don't know. Do you want to go into the calls right away?
Yeah, might as well.
Yeah, okay. We'll go to the calls. Here you are, callers. It's your day in the sun. It's your 15 minutes of fame.
Whoa.
More like 5 seconds.
I like the message how you're putting it down now just every other day. A lot of times people, even though I have a computer, it's still just nice, you know, to hear, you know, a news update from you. It's kind of, a moral boost. Take care.
You see there, doctor, we're giving them a moral boost.
I thought I was giving them an immoral boost.
I thought you was going to say enema there for a minute. But,
immoral boost.
An immoral boost? Yeah. I don't know. Get your mind out of the whatever.
K. Martin, that nigger, Michael Jackson have in common. They both have boys' pants half off.
Doctor, what is the latest on the Michael Jackson situation?
I heard that the Pope called Michael Jackson and told him if he didn't stop buggering little boys that he'd have no choice but make him into a Catholic priest.
Oh, come on now. You tell me the truth there. Is that one,
yeah,
of your, is that one of your makeup stories?
No, that's a true Catholic story.
Well,
Michael Jackson's going to have himself a collar.
Well, what's the difference between, what does Santa Claus and Michael Jackson have in common?
What?
When they leave Michael Jackson's bedroom, they both have an empty sack. Now, since we're into jokes, I got another one.
Mm-hmm.
This Kike and his wife is over in the Middle East traveling around. They get pretty bored, you know, with Israel and all that stuff. So they rented a Cadillac and went out driving through the Negev desert.
Mm-hmm.
So they stop the car, and they're sitting up on this little hill, and they see way off in the distance a black speck coming at them. And it's getting closer and closer, and they see it's a donkey.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets closer, and they see there's a man leading a donkey. And it gets a little closer, and they see a woman riding on the donkey. And gets a little closer, right up to him, and she's pregnant. And so they gets up there, and the guy with the donkey says, "Hey, look, I need to get to Bethlehem fast, because tomorrow's the 25th. My wife's going to have a baby." He says, introduced himself. He says, "I'm Joseph and she's Mary."
Mm-hmm.
And so the Jew says, "Well, if that's, if it's going to be your firstborn, will you call him, Jesus Christ?" And the guy says, "What do you think I am, a Puerto Rican?" Okay, doctor, I got one more. The two niggas go to the carnival,
mm-hmm,
and at the carnival, it says, there's a big sign says, "For a dollar, we'll make you a white man."
Mm-hmm.
So they said, "Wow, man, that'd be great. We get a good job, we get white women, all that stuff, you know, that'd be great." But one has got $0.95, and the other's got $1.05. So the guy with $1.05 says, "Well, I'll go in first and see what happens." So he goes in, and a few minutes later, he comes out, he's white, and he's supposed to loan the other guy a nickel when he goes in.
Mm-hmm.
So the nigga says to the guy that's now white, he says, "Well, where's my nickel so I can get in there?" And the white guy that was a nigga says, "Get a job, nigger."
Oh, you know, I've got a true story that my dad told me this in the 20s, you know, in the 20s and 30s in Long Beach Pike. But they used to have, you know how they have these, the Midway, and they have all these, contests and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he said there was one place where they had this wall and it had a hole in it, and a nigger would stick his face in there, and for, I think it was like a penny or a nickel, you get three baseballs, like hard balls, and if you knock the nigger out, you won a Cupid doll. So he was constantly sticking his head in the hole, and he'd pull back, you know, and stuff, and stick it in, and all these Marines and stuff were throwing a hard ball trying to whack him in the head.
Oh, man, what a job.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's tantamount.
That's a good nigger job,
that's
though.
Even worth the slavery.
That's a good nigger job.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't think it hurt him too much.
Oh, no, not if you hit him in the head.
Oh, no, yeah. No. Well, that nigga ought to get in touch with Mr. Robert Brock of the Reparations Committee. And get some reparations for all those baseball hits.
He's probably dead, because my dad was a little kid when this was going on.
Oh,
so he's probably long dead. Probably got hit too many times in the head of the baseball.
I don't think it'd last more than one season, but look.
Yeah, it'd be awful fast, duck behind the wall.
But on a more somber note, you know this Robert Brock, black guy, came out of nowhere a few years ago, and everybody, the conservatives, thought he was wonderful.
Yeah, the Pace Amendment.
Because he was criticizing the Jews, and he worked for the Pace Amendment, and he'd go around all these meetings, and all these right-wing conservatives could say, "See, we got a good nigger. Here's our good nigger," you know.
To prove they're not prejudiced.
To prove they're not prejudiced. Well, he's at it again. I got a poorly written appeal for money for his reparations thing.
Yeah.
So, and Willis Cardo used him for a while, too, as sort of a front, you know. Mm-hmm. So, anyhow, any of you people out there get a request for funds from Robert Brock for his reparations committee. He calls it something else. I forget what it was. Just throw it in the trash, because it's Robert Brock's, I guess, living fairly well off these conservatives.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, that's the way it goes. You've been commenting on my half coyote doggy shedding.
Yeah, shedding in the middle of winter.
I tell you, I'm brushing him every damn morning, but I took him over to the place and the gal clipped his nails, because, God, they grow like a gorilla, man, if you let him go. And when he walks around the house, it sounds like a horse. Well, anyhow, she said that because we've had such fluctuation in weather, real hot, then it cold, real hot, that the biological thing of the dog is confused.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's growing hair and shedding hair and getting ready and backing off.
Every time I touch him, I get tons of...
Well, I do, too.
God damn it.
It's a pain in the ass, I'll tell you.
Like these... When I hear all these conspiracy stories about how the United States or George Bush was behind the September 11th attacks, I'm just saying to myself, the United States government is run by a bunch of incompetent morons, and George Bush is, you know, just the tip of the iceberg. I think we have to give credit where credit is due. These Arabs, we got to give credit to the Arabs. They were smart enough to learn how to fly those planes into the Twin Towers, into the Pentagon. Unfortunately, they didn't hit the Capitol and the White House. That's like one of the biggest tragedies. But let's not be miserly in giving credit where credit is due. I think the Arabs and the Muslims have a legitimate grievance against this country, and they struck back. You know, they struck back at the evil empire. So I'm sorry about the loss of the Twin Towers and all the white people who died, but. You know, again, I don't think this government would be smart enough to pull something like that off. Those are very valuable pieces of real estate, the Trade Center and the Pentagon.
Well, that man does have a point.
Well, I don't think the United States government was behind the attacks, but I think that Gore Vidal and Michael Moore and a lot of others have basically shown the United States, the FBI and the CIA knew something was coming. And like they did in Pearl Harbor, they just kind of sit on their hands, you know, like Roosevelt did in Pearl Harbor. He knew the Japs were going to attack Pearl Harbor. He kind of just sit on his hands and let the Japs do their thing. And then he worked the American people up to go into World War II. Same with 9/11 is they knew that the Muslims were going to do this. And after they hit it, he worked them up. And then that way they got the Patriot Act and the Homeland Security Act and all this crap. And I think they weren't behind it, but it was just like I said, is they knew it was coming.
They took advantage.
They
didn't
do shit. Yeah.
They just took advantage.
Well, even Newsweek and Time magazine has said that they knew that they had FBI agents saying that something big is coming, and they basically just kind of, you know, took the reports and threw it in the garbage.
Well, and that's sort of like, there's a rapist running around the neighborhood, so you
mm-hmm.
put your nude daughter sitting out in a lounge chair at midnight in your front yard and
yeah.
see what happens.
Yeah. Well, you know, the governments have been doing this since the government, you know, like when they knew that something was going to, you know, same with the Reichstag fire in Germany,
yeah.
as they always said that the Nazis were behind, that was bullshit, but I think it is, I think that Goering knew that something was up, because, you know, I think they were wiretapping, and they knew that the communists were going to hit it, and they just said, well, fuck it, let them hit it, and
yeah.
we can get all the propaganda value out of it again.
Look at the Spanish-American War, that
yeah.
battleship Maine, that was pretty phony, too,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So this is a common tactic. To be able to get into a war with somebody
yeah.
and then claim it's all their fault. Well, I think the signal went out when Bush was elected.
Yeah.
And he put in all these fanatical Christian fundamentalists, and I think that was the clue to the Al-Qaeda to say, look, we don't have a chance at any negotiations.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We're just going to hit them.
Oh, yeah, they're so damn pro-Israel and some of those
yeah,
fundamentalists.
Like I said, even though I'm not a big Gore fan, I think if Gore had been elected, it never would have happened.
Yeah.
That's my opinion,
yeah.
because they did not perceive Gore as being into this radical Christian camp.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you don't know how many of them are really into that Christian camp or just use
mm-hmm.
the Christian
camp. And now because of 9/11, you know, they get all these excuses and say, oh, because of 9/11, we're down on terrorist now, and that's why they got, Matt Hale in jail, and that's probably eventually why we're going to be in jail, just because they'll justify it for what happened to 9/11.
Well, also, this whole thing, this Afghan thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're not even talking about Afghan. You know, all they did was, they said they were going after bin Laden,
mm-hmm.
and they lied.
Oh, yeah.
They wanted to get rid of the Taliban out of the government so they could build a pipeline, that oil pipeline
yeah.
over there. And the guy who's now the head guy in Afghanistan,
mm-hmm.
guess who he was before the invasion of Afghanistan? He was a representative, an agent of the oil company,
yeah.
An Afghan
mm-hmm.
living outside the country. So they just slipped their own agent back in, made him the top man, and now say, okay, now you can build a pipeline. Yeah. That was all it was about.
Yeah, you know, I have a feeling, too, with bin Laden and Saddam, that they deliberately don't want to find them. Because if they find them, then they wouldn't have an excuse to have all this military action. You know, we got to have all this military action because we got to get, you know, bin Laden and Saddam and stuff. We've got to find them. We've got to get them. So that way it kind of justifies all their war budgets.
Well, I mentioned this on an update before,
mm-hmm.
that it's almost exactly like before World War One, because mm-hmm. they knew it was coming, and Wilson was lying mm-hmm. to the people. That, oh, I'll never send your boys to fight a foreign war. In fact, that First World War never really ended.
Yeah.
But anyhow, Pancho Villa came over into Douglas, Arizona, made a raid
mm-hmm.
because he'd been screwed by a Jew gun seller.
Oh, really?
And that was I finally found that out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why did he make a raid on Douglas, Arizona? I mean, there's plenty of places in Mexico he could have made a raid.
Yeah.
That never was clear to me. Well, it became clear, this piece of information was, that he was supposed to get a bunch of guns for his revolutionary activity,
mm-hmm.
and a Jew screwed him. That was living in Douglas,
mm-hmm.
and so he raided a place. But anyhow, the point was, based upon that raid, they went and sent Black Jack Pershing,
mm-hmm.
You know, the general of the armies, yeah. with all these troops and all these new weapons down there, chasing him around a desert.
Yeah.
Well, the truth was, they weren't even trying to find him.
Yeah.
They were playing like they were finding, so they could have maneuvers and get ready for World War mm-hmm. One. So you see, this isn't the first time this kind of a show.
Well, you know, Ron, have you read George Orwell's 1984?
Yeah.
Remember Goldstein in there? Well, Goldstein was the big anti-Big Brother, supposedly. But then they kind of tell you in the book, they basically hint at it, that Goldstein was made up. The Big Brother made Goldstein up just so they could have an enemy of the state. And that whole thing about what Wilson Smith's rendezvous and stuff was just a big government setup. That they knew that the motel that he went to that he was having sex with that girl.
Uh-huh.
All along, they knew it was a setup because they just needed an enemy of the state. They needed somebody in the administration of misinformation or administration of truth.
What they would have liked to have done was used us and our struggle as an excuse and
oh, yeah.
the right wing.
Yeah.
But we don't have enough power.
Yeah.
They couldn't make an excuse that big because we know and they know that mm-hmm. we don't have that kind of power.
Oh.
But if they could have,
mm-hmm.
If there'd have been several McVeighs going off
yeah.
at once, they would have used domestic.
Oh, yeah.
The domestic.
Well, they're using it right now because of 9/11.
They're
saying all domestic terrorists are alike, and who's a domestic terrorism? Anybody who doesn't support the troops. Support the troops basically means don't question the government.
Well, they're augmenting it and creating a
yeah.
whole new COINTELPRO.
But didn't you say that they got a whole bunch of subpoenas out for the militia now in
yeah,
New Jersey?
The latest word I heard was last night that there's over 100 subpoenas floating
mm-hmm.
around for federal grand juries or something based upon some activity of a militia group in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea who it is,
no.
or who knows. They could use this and pick up everybody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
drag them in.
You know, to the really anti-gun people, a militia guy could be just like a deer hunting club.
Anything.
You got a bunch of guys all dressed up in a uniform playing with guns. That's a militia.
Hey, I wonder if they, you know, last night they had a big anti-Bush.
Oh, yeah, hate Bush,
Hollywood.
Yeah.
Could they pick them up? I mean,
probably
under
could.
Some of the new patriots.
Well, you know the name of that? You know the name of the organization?
Americans Come Together?
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, well, Rush Scumball was really getting hell this morning.
Oh. Because Kristen Dunn is in that Maggie, Gyllenhaal?
Yeah.
Gyllenhaal, whatever her hell her name is. She's in it, too. I wouldn't mind coming together with them.
Now, come on here. This is a family show.
All right. What happened to Daniel Carver, the Ku Klux Klan guy? You guys, you contact him, tell him to get his white ass out. We need more race hate on the radio. White power.
Well, Daniel Carver, a voice out of my past. Well, the problem, Danny's a nice guy
mm-hmm.
and all that, and he's a good racist, but I don't think he sees much beyond the right wing, and let's go hanging there.
Well, I heard him on the Howard Stern show a couple weeks ago. He was betting on the Super Bowl or some football thing, and he was beating Howard Stern. And actually, Robin Quivers was rooting for him over Artie. Yeah, he wanted Daniel Carver to beat Artie.
Wow, man. Well, anyhow, Danny's sort of fun to listen to
yeah.
and like that, but sometimes you wonder how how really committed to a revolutionary struggle he is. I think he's more right-wing and conservative. Really? But, you know, he's fine as far as I'm concerned, but I just don't hear much else about him, except he puts out a pretty good catalog of Klan stuff.
Oh, does he? Did you ever hear something? I heard it on the radio.
You can buy one of those concrete niggers and put in your front yard.
Oh, those jockeys. You know, those jockeys, though, you know, originally that was a salute to a black horse
That's
racer.
That's my story. I told you that.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, I'll be damned.
That little black concrete guy, that jockey that people put in the front yard, that was a tribute to, and I forget the guy's name, a black jockey that did quite well in this country until he got caught in bed with a white woman, I think.
Uh-oh.
He ran over to France, and he finished out his career riding over there, but that was actually a tribute. It wasn't a put-down to black people.
No.
But that's how stupid blacks are, you know.
Yeah.
Anything like that's putting them down.
Yeah.
They're almost as bad as the Jews.
John, you keep getting better and better. It's just really something to see your progress. You know, I hear you and the great doctor of truth, Wyatt Gallenberg, talking about the church system, and I agree completely. Wow.
See, I told you we were a great doctor.
Yes.
Yeah, there's at least one person who thinks so.
Yeah, this is Paul from North Carolina. I was just walking around the mall here in Greensboro. It's Four Seasons. It's quite a large mall. Anyhow, it's a Saturday night here, so it's crowded with all types of strange individuals. I've never seen so many niggers in one place in my life, and I just had to hear a voice of reason, so I called your show up and listened to your little program. But anyway, that's all I really had to say. Hey.
Well, now, there's one of our listeners that we made very happy.
Yeah. Well, if he thinks that's niggers, for a while when I was working as a pipe inspector in the oil fields, there was, believe it or not, an oil field pipe yard in the middle of Watts. And
really?
I used to go down there, and I was the only white guy in Watts working on a pipe yard.
You mean Wally George said you could never walk through Watts. And he told me I couldn't either. But
really?
But he said they loved him in Watts.
Well, you know what's kind of weird?
I challenged him. Yeah. I said, Wally, let's go to Watts, and we'll walk through Watts, you and I.
You know, in Watts, when you go out to eat stuff, you can have barbecued ribs. There's a lot of rib places. And also the Nation of Islam, they have a white fish store where you can go and buy fish sandwiches. Actually, they're pretty good. You go in there and you can read the Final Call.
Yeah.
Their newspaper and stuff, and they got their fish sandwiches and stuff. So, actually, I used to walk around and nobody really said anything to me except I'm a big guy. So, I mean, you know, maybe somebody like Wally George would kill, but.
Well, I had a fish sandwich. Boy, I would.
Well, yeah, the Muslims, they had the store that basically just makes fish sandwiches. They got white fish and they got perch and stuff. And
what do you mean? No catfish?
I think they may have catfish. I'm not sure. There's a whole list of different types of fish.
A nigger restaurant without a catfish.
Yeah.
Maybe some.
Well, you don't like fish. I like fish.
I hate fish.
So I'd go in there and be the only white guy in a Muslim-run fast food place.
Those blacks will eat sucker and they'll eat carp, too.
Yeah.
Those are, boy, talk about.
Well, I was telling you, when I was a kid, we used to go rabbit hunting for cottontail and stuff. And you don't eat a jackrabbit. You know, jackrabbit's a hare. Now, I don't know if it's because the jackrabbit used to be, the hare used to be sacred or something in Europe, but you're not supposed to eat them. But I was always told that black people always ate, jackrabbits and stuff. And once I was hunting, there was a black guy out there, and I shot some jackrabbits. We used to feed them to our dogs, so I asked him one and gave it to him. I gave a good guy a jackrabbit.
Well, you know what religious people should always do?
What?
They should pick out an animal that's absolutely cruddy to eat and make it a god.
Yeah.
Or like a fish.
Yeah.
Say, well, we can't eat sucker and carp because, it's a religious thing.
Well, in Europe, too, the hare was sacred, but the rabbit wasn't. You know, it's not the Easter rabbit. It used to be the Easter hare. You know, you worship the hare, not the rabbit. So, you know, you weren't supposed to eat the hare, but you could eat a rabbit.
Oh, man, I guess.
Well, you know, rabbits are good to eat. Hares taste like shit.
All you spooks in the sky people, boy, you got a million things.
Well, that's good, because hares taste like shit.
You're shaking your finger in my face again.
Hares like Bugs Bunny would taste like shit, because he was a hare, skinny, scrawny hare.
Wait a minute. Now, a regular rabbit is very good eating.
Yeah.
Because I used to hunt all the time.
Oh, well, a jackrabbit is a hare.
But a jackrabbit is, one of the reasons is the way they live, too.
Yeah.
I mean, they're real stringy and tough because they live in the desert.
Yeah.
Man.
A jackrabbit is just a cowboy word for hair because jackrabbits are hair.
I know that already. I know that already.
Well, get to your mind.
Thank you, Jerry the Jew. Boy,
you pray to jackrabbits and ye cottontails.
Reminds me of Jack Daniels. Where's my glass? No, wait a minute. Okay.
The best you have. It's from Arizona, and it is Sunday morning early. You see where the federal government wants to give $1 billion to all the hospitals along the border with Mexico, particularly in Arizona, where several hospitals are totally broken over, are going in the hole almost $500,000 to $1 million a week instead of the wonderful illegal aliens. So, big news here in Arizona. I'll send a copy of it to you.
Well, there's our Arizona reporter spilling the beans. They want to spend $1 billion on hospitals and revamping them along the border. Now, now if the Macleodori plants down there is attracting hundreds of thousands of wetbacks up to Tijuana, then what do you think it's going to do if they improve the hospital?
Oh, yeah.
They're just using it as a magnet to bring these people in.
Oh, no, you know, they rip money off of us. They take our tax dollars to build hospitals just so these guys can come up and take our land. You know, like I say, it's genocide through immigration. That's you know, there. I got a thing in the mail about Tibet. There was a leftist group saying how the Chinese are committing genocide against the Tibetans through immigration because they said that the most sneakiest, devious way to commit genocide is through mass immigration and swamp the poor Tibetans, and so there won't be any Tibetans left to Chinese. So, well, hell, that's exactly what they're doing to us all over Europe and stuff, you know?
That's okay, because
we're evil.
We're evil white people.
And our sins will be redeemed through genocide.
And guess what? Old Bushcutt got a president. The president was down to Arizona last week.
Oh, was he?
He picked up $1.8 million in donations in a day. $1 million.
What, from the Mexican government?
No, from the fat cats of Arizona, all those conservative Republicans, all those developers developing all these big housing tracts, and they're running out of water, and they're wasting the water trying to keep the grass green and all that. Well, Arizona is just going to deteriorate because it doesn't have the backup structure to support all these people. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe we got a little more room in California, but down in Arizona, I mean, you know, their lack of water is terrible.
Well, you know, I heard on the news today that, you know, President Bush has a bigger domestic policy budget than Johnson and RFD combined. You know, welfare program. He's more socialist than even Roosevelt or Lyndon Johnson was.
They always are.
I mean, every administration, no matter if it's Republican or Democrat, is always more of a socialist administration than the last. Yeah. And two, it's not good socialist. It's not like they're given to help white families. They're all helping the third worlders.
Well, it's, you know, that's the thing. The Republicans get in lying like hell that they're for the Republic and they're for cutting big government and all that. And it's all nonsense, just like Reagan. And there's still a lot of right wing thinks Reagan was a great guy.
Yeah.
Well, I could give you 50 different reasons why he was a rat.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's still costing us money.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, a lot of the judges that he put on the bench and so forth like that are sending our people to jail. So, anyhow, I have not liked any president since I could vote. Now, I started voting way back in, I started voting in about 61, I think, or 60 back in there. And none of them did I like.
I like Kennedy. I think it was like November 22nd, 1963. I thought Kennedy actually did the best thing any president ever did since Lincoln or McKinley.
Well,
or Garfield.
At times back then, I thought one might be better than other. But now, looking back on it, I hate them all.
Oh, yeah.
Because now that all the history unfolds and you read all this crap that they pull, and they all have been screwing the white race.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the working white race.
Well, you know, even the early, like, you know, Washington and Jefferson and all those guys, they basically used a white working people for cannon fodder. You know, they cleaned out the frontier. And once they got the frontier cleaned out of all the Indians and stuff, the capitalists came in and pushed out the white workers, and they'd have to go further out in the west, the frontier, to eventually, you know, they used white people just to clean out the frontier from the savages, and the capitalists came in and took all their land.
And the railroads came in.
The railroads came in, and the corporations came in, and, you know, they always talk about how America's golden age was a free enterprise. That was bullshit. It was more like anarchy.
Robber barons.
Yeah, well, I mean, in the golden days in the frontier, it was more like anarchy. It was like a tribal system.
Right.
You know, you basically, whoever kicks ass can take it. And then once the actually free enterprise system came in, that's when the corporations and the railroad, that was a free enterprise system. That killed the family farm, you know, because in the 1880s, you know, the 80% of the American people owned a business. You know, by the 1980s, 20% of the American people owned their own business.
It's all about escaping the clutches of government.
Yeah.
Like I used to say during the Cold War, if you lived 1,000 miles from Moscow,
mm-hmm.
In a small town, you're freer than
yeah.
you are here.
Oh, yeah.
200 miles from L.A.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's your proximity to government.
Mm-hmm.
It's how free you are.
Well, you know, American frontier. California in the 1840s was probably the freest thing because, you know, what do they have? They had like a one sheriff for, you know, like about 5 counties, if you're lucky. Sometimes they didn't even have that. And they had like Fort Tejon. They had like 1 or 2 forts in California.
Yeah, it's always if something's undeveloped and not worth anything.
Oh, yeah.
Then you can be relatively free. Then even though you're starving to death, you could be free.
Uh-huh.
But the minute they start seeing a value at a place,
yeah.
you're in trouble.
Well, you know, the right wings have got this thing that hell they see Adam Smith's philosophy, you know, all over the American frontier, and they always had this lie that the, you know, that was the golden age of the free enterprise system and democracy. And what they don't say is that everything that America is right now didn't exist in the frontier. You know, there was no government. The democracy didn't exist in the frontier. It was just like the frontier was like the Wild West.
Yeah.
You know, the free enterprise system basically takes people's private property away from them, and it gives them to the scoundrels.
The power to tax and the power to destroy.
Yeah, because the free enterprise system gives the scumbags of the world the freedom to take away from you. And you, and like an anarchy, if some capitalist tries to take something away, you just blow them away, you know.
Well, look at Lincoln, how he's revered.
Oh, yeah.
Lincoln was an ass.
Oh, yeah.
And if you read carefully the history and what he was doing and all that kind of
mm-hmm.
stuff, then he turned right around and said that corporations are going to be the ruination of the country. But he knew they were operating. He didn't do anything about it
yeah.
to squelch mm-hmm. the corporations.
Well, like Eisenhower.
Anybody would be involved in a war that's going to kill half the country. I mean, you know, or, you know, thousands and tens of thousands of people. Hundreds of thousands,
mm-hmm.
like the Civil War. Yeah. No, there's always a way out. There's
yeah.
always a way out. And I'm going to fault the Southern leaders, too,
oh, yeah.
because they could have stopped it.
Oh, yeah.
There was a way around it.
Right. Well, you know, the Confederacy, too, is, you know, that wasn't really about saving the white race. That was just making a buck for the plantation
owners,
you know.
Nothing's been about
yeah.
saving the white race. That's a myth.
Oh, yeah. Well, they use white racism. When white racism was popular, they use it in order to advance their long-term programs.
Yeah, the British use it under
oh, yeah.
mercantilism.
Oh, yeah.
They just use the racism as an adjunct to go
mm-hmm.
to a country and rob people. But
yeah.
they really weren't racist because we are racial separatists.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to go into a country and rob people.
Mm-hmm.
So we're the bad guys.
Yeah.
You know, we're not mercantilists,
yeah.
you know. And I could live on a very small budget
mm-hmm.
and I can revamp old stuff. And I can drive an old car,
yeah.
and I'm very happy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't need all this bullshit that they sell in the department store.
You know, when I was a little kid, like, you know, I lived in a little small town, for the same way with you, but, you know, my dad worked, my mom was a full-time housewife, she had a shitload of kids in the thing, everybody in the town was poor. You know, like one family had a color TV. They were the richer family. And if people were happy. I mean, I had a great childhood. You know, now all these people own shit. They got the husband and the wife for work, and they own all this shit, and almost everybody's miserable.
Yeah, because they're running around like crazy.
And then
we're going into the holiday season, and I can't stand it.
Buy more shit you don't need.
You try to go into a store and people are almost beating each
other
to death to grab a toy.
Yeah.
You go down the street here at 3 o'clock in the afternoon in this small town, it's like a traffic jam in L.A.
Oh, yeah.
These people are going crazy. I just, I'm always so thrilled when the so-called holiday season is over.
Yeah.
Well, all I can say is the happiest days of my life were in the 50s
mm-hmm.
when I was pre-teenager and teenager there in a little town in Indiana. In
yeah.
fact, we lived on a little farm outside of town. And I was really free there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I could go any place I wanted for hundreds of acres,
yeah.
hunt and trap and everything. And I did pretty much what I wanted to do.
Oh, when I was a little kid, you know, I was in the oil field, so we used to go out there and we used to turn on and off the oil field pumps, and like when I was really young in the early 60s, they still had like the wooden derricks and stuff. It's like I think about the late 60s, they burned them all because we used to go up there with gliders and firecrackers and climb up the wooden derricks and light the firecracker and throw it down and let the planes blow up and stuff.
Wow. So. Yeah, and I remember with a little gang of my friends just going everywhere, all over town, down every nook and cranny, down every alley looking for something to do. And we always found something to do.
You know, when I was a kid, the average white family was like 5 kids. There was like one family that had 11 kids. But, you know, we're quote-unquote poor white trash, but we had everything we wanted and stuff. You know, like, you know, even once a year you went to Disneyland or something. And, you know, I was a lot more happy than a lot of these people that grow up in these fucking suburbs and stuff. They can't even play out in the street, and there's no parks or anything.
Well,
and
the kids are right.
You know, their parents work, and their parents, to show them their love, they'll buy them a fucking video game, and they'll sit by themselves playing their video games and never go out and ride their bikes or get into mischief or setting oil wells on fire.
Yeah,
fun.
Yeah, that's right. Now, while we're on the game situation, mm-hmm. run out and try to find that Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, well, the Vegas one, Sin City?
Well, no, this is about how you should go out and kill Haitians.
Oh, that's probably Sin City. There's Grand Theft Auto, Sin City. There's different copies of it.
Oh, I see.
Sin City is the one that they really complain about. I'm pretty sure it's that one because they got in there where you get points for killing cops and pimps and taxi drivers and all kinds of stuff.
Well, the Haitian community is upset.
Well, probably because of the Haitian taxi drivers.
Nigga, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, anyhow, the 10 million of them have been sold.
Oh, yeah, I think they're talking about Sin City. Grand Theft Auto, Sin City.
Well, they'll never stop it now.
Well, you know, there's a video game. There's one called Freedom Fighter. It's about the communists take over New York, and you've got to overthrow the communists. And there's another one. It's called a Revolution. It's set in Russia, and it's right after the communists fall, and all hell breaks loose in Russia. And your object is to take over the government. You can take it over as a religious cult. You can take it over as a political organization, a syndicate crime. And, you know, you use bribery and terrorism and espionage and all kinds of stuff. But you got to be careful because the government uses dirty tricks and the government's trying to trap you.
Well, that's just like normal then.
Exactly. and it's a video game. So, you know, you get so many points where you put out propaganda. Like if you're starting like a fascist group or something, you can put out propaganda on the wall and you get points for every time you put up propaganda and you try to recruit the masses.
Well, no wonder none of our people are putting propaganda on the wall. They're inside a bedroom playing a game.
That's true.
Oh.
Tom, I was on the net and I came across this guy called the Birdman or something like that. He's got a lot of different books and he's somewhat a revolutionary, but he doesn't want to take the same line that you and Matt Howe have taken because he says it's not politically savvy or some shit like that. But he talks down on Patrick Buchanan and David Duke. He says he hates the right wing, but he fills in the gaps between Patrick Buchanan and you and Matt Howe. I don't know. Some of his books are pretty good. I just don't know if you've heard of him. He's called the Birdman. Take care.
Well, Doctor, I never heard of the Birdman.
Well, you know what gets me is a lot of these guys are just pussies. They won't even use their own name.
Yeah.
And you know, to me, I think we should have a meritocracy when people actually stick their line, their ass on the line, that they say they have more credit than people that hide behind these names and stuff.
Well, I've always said that if a man won't put his real name out there, then mm-hmm. he's not much of a man.
I always like, you know, on the internet, you got guys like the Viking Warrior and stuff. Is it the Viking Warrior never has the balls to say who the fuck he is, you know?
Yeah, right.
You know, like, you know, we went all through shit, go to jail, you know, we get fired and stuff like that. And then a lot of times these guys, the Aryan warrior, who the fuck it is, I mean, they'll just rip people who actually put their ass on the line to pieces, you know?
Yeah.
You know, they'll go after you, the National Alliance, or whoever, and just tear them into an asshole.
It's probably some pimple-faced little geek.
Some little faggot living with his mother, you know, by a 30-year-old faggot living with his mommy or something, you know?
Yeah, they know the whole
answer. You know, he is the super Aryan warrior.
Oh, yeah. And they come around, and they get active for about 6 months, mm-hmm. and then they're gone.
Oh, yeah, and the minute the FBI talks to them and finds out who the Aryan warrior is, they shit their pants.
You know, I wish the FBI would visit everybody in the struggle about every 6 months.
Oh, yeah.
And we'd find out who is who.
Oh, yeah,
because
yeah.
most of these people, if the FBI come to the door, they crap their
doors.
Yeah. And they'll be talking their butts off.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Oh, I'm innocent. I didn't do
anything.
Oh, they
have heart attacks.
Yeah, right. No, that would be a good idea mm-hmm. if the feds came around once every 6 months to a guy, to these people's door, especially all these new people.
Yeah. Well, like I said,
flush them out.
It was with the Birdman. Well, he, you know, he's against Duke and he's against that, but he won't take our stand because it's not savvy. Other words, I mean, he's a fucking chicken shit.
Yeah.
And he's called the Birdman because he's a chicken shit.
Well, he's put out some books that he probably...
Oh, make
some
money.
You know what they do now? They go out and find books that other guys write, and then they write a book about those, take the stuff out, steal all the information.
It's called plagiarism.
And then they come out with a new book.
Yeah.
They do that all the time.
Oh, strict, yeah.
Yeah. They do it all the time about the Illuminati. God,
yeah.
Illuminati running out my ears.
Yeah.
Oh, have you seen the new book on Illuminati? You take a look at it. It's the same stuff I read 30 years ago.
Well, I noticed that. There's a whole school of these people that, you know, they like to be on the fence and they like to pretend like they're revolutionaries. But when anybody does anything that shows them what a coward they are, they'll attack them. And then, you know, they'll always kind of weasel it out so they can deny that they were ever in it. You know, they'll deny being a racist, they'll deny being a Nazi. You know, the Birdman, he's probably against a lot of shit, but he's not for anything because it takes actually balls to be for something, you know?
Right.
You know, he's against Pat Buchanan, against Duke, he's against you, he's against the Church of the Creator. You know, what the fuck is
that
for?
Nobody's got it right.
He's the Birdman. He likes birds,
but he's got it figured out.
You know, they come and says, well, I'm the Birdman. I like birds. I got no fucking nonsense.
Well,
birds.
Far,
I sell books.
As far as I'm concerned, the first test of anyone in the struggle is physical courage. Now, it doesn't mean you have to be muscle-bound. Doesn't mean you have to be a great fighter, because I've known even handicapped people who had all kinds of guys.
Yeah.
But a person almost has to be tested physically for his, whether he's any bravery to him at all.
The first sign of cowardice if the guy doesn't have the balls to use his own name.
I'm telling you, these guys all the time, they're on the internet, and they're everywhere preaching revolution, everything else. The first minute a federal agent comes to their door, they just collapse.
Yeah.
And they run and stuff. And I'm not going to mention names, but there's been a whole bunch of them.
I remember like a guy in the late 80s, there was a guy who lives with his mom, as usual, like a 30-40-year-old man, lives with his mother.
Yes.
And he sent an article to us, and under a fake name, he was calling himself some kind of Wagner hero or something like that. And the article advocated the assassination of President Reagan at the time.
Uh-huh.
He wanted to shoot President Reagan. So we read it and threw it in the garbage. And then after that, about 2 months later, we got this nasty letter how we were Jews and cowards for not running his article. And, you know, you were going to write him a dirty letter. And I wanted to say, well, you know what we ought to do is put the article in the paper and then have a map to get to this guy's house so the FBI can find out who wants to kill President Reagan. And the guy would have opened the door. He probably would have, his heart would have blown up or something, shit in his pants, you know.
I've known a few of these guys that wrote revolutionary books, too. One of them was on our show one time.
Oh, yeah.
And I innocently then later put his name out.
Well, no, you put his post office box.
His P.O. box so people could buy his book.
Oh, yeah, but I had a cow.
And, oh, my God, this is horrible, and they didn't want to talk to me anymore.
He wanted you to sell his book, but not him.
But he wanted to be totally protected from anything.
Yeah.
Well, even Pierce, look, he wrote the Turner Diaries and then denied he wrote it.
Oh, yeah, for a long time you did,
For a long time,
What was that? That's Andrew McDonald or something?
Yeah, whoever he was.
Yeah.
Well, what the hell? I'd have been proud of writing
that. I heard
I don't understand these people.
I heard Pierce doing an interview about the Turner Diaries, like in the early 90s, and he was talking about Andrew McDonald in the third person as if he was a real person. Even though the interviewer knew that Pierce is the one that wrote the book, Pierce was talking about the author as being somebody different than him and being a real person. He'd go to question, he goes, well, McDonald in the book, The Turner Diaries, which is a novel written by McDonald, he felt in the novel, The Turner Diaries, which is a novel.
Yeah, right.
Going on and on. It's kind of the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Well, doesn't he remind you of somebody else, too? Mr. Covington?
Yeah.
He does the same
thing. Oh, yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He creates these different characters.
He's all over the internet.
Yeah.
And he's writing people emails using different names.
Yeah.
And they're actually him.
Oh, well,
he sent me an email and said, well, this is what this guy said about Covington. I said, that is Covington.
Well, in his newsletter, he did that. He had a whole bunch of guys writing, and it was him.
Yeah.
You know, Winston Smith and Harold Covington.
Well,
the other guy with that.
We're
going
to do dirty laundry. We got Pierce did this stuff.
Yeah.
And then Covington did this stuff. And David Duke used to write all these articles telling how great David Duke was.
What was this thing? He says he used to write articles about himself. He'd say, David Duke, young, handsome, and articulate. This is David Duke.
You always
David
know
Duke.
He wrote
When he uses that phrase, that was written by Duke.
I've seen him write these articles. I mean, I was in his headquarters way back in the 70s. I've seen him do that stuff. So anybody that says that's baloney, I know it happened, man. And especially when he was writing those books about niggers killing white people.
Oh, yeah.
And then he wrote the sex book about how women could do blowjobs to guys and keep them happy and all this kind of stuff. None of those right-wingers ever take him to task on that kind of stuff. So we had a whole cadre of these kind of people that were not out front. Mm-hmm. They're not really being themselves and like that. But they still keep getting the money.
Yeah.
They get the money, man.
It doesn't do any good, you know.
The money doesn't do any damn good, but just they have some fun. Maybe go gamble and have get them a chick. You know?
You can be a John Bircher and play revolutionary. You can be schizophrenia. You can be a John Bircher. You can be Aryan revolutionary.
Well, let me
nobody
tell
knows
you
that Aryan revolutionary is really you.
I agree with Bob Matthews. If this if we had the power that we should have, those people would be taken care of.
No, well, tactics one of the four deadly sins in the Aryan society is cowardice.
Yeah.
And anybody who can't even use their own name is a coward. So Tacitus said that the Germans would basically just take them to a bog and put rocks and boards on top of them, more rocks, and squash them like a pimple into the bog.
Well, I had several of these people say some very bad things to me, and I actually challenged them.
Yeah.
I said, well, we'll have an Aryan fest. We're going to charge $30 a head to get in, and we're going to do physical.
Oh, yeah.
Combat.
I've had people attack me on the internet and stuff, make posts and stuff, and they'd sign their name something like Aryan Warrior or something like that. They'd never, ever use their name, you know.
You know,
so here's some fucking cunt attacking me. You know, he's not even good enough to lick the dog shit off my boot.
Yeah,
you know?
So I say, come on, we'll raise a lot of money for the families of the POWs. We'll rope off an area here, and we'll use chain mail, whatever. We'll use a club, a baseball bat. Let's go at it.
Well, you challenged Covington to a duel, and he wrote something that says, oh, that's just like Metzger. Violence is its answer for everything. he was all huffed up into a
Anyhow, we know the way the ball bounces.
Yeah.
Well, I know one thing. Violence isn't the answer to everything, but it's the answer to most things.
Well, that's what I like about the American government. They always say violence isn't the answer, but they sure did drop a couple A-bombs on the Japs.
And
they bombed the fuck out of Baghdad.
Cluster bombs on Lebanese.
Napalm the Vietnamese, burn them alive, burn their women and children alive.
They were setting off Lebanon, shooting shells out off those ships, big as Volkswagen.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, violence is no answer.
No.
And Reagan bombs Gaddafi's house.
Oh, yeah,
kills
his daughter.
Yeah. What a bunch of it's ridiculous.
Yeah, you know, the Jews are always against violence, but their soldiers throw pregnant Palestinian women down the stairs and stomp on their guts until they kill their kids and stuff. But no answer to it.
They got pretty violent against Bob Matthews.
Oh yeah, you know, they burned him alive.
McVeigh, that was pretty violent.
Yeah, they executed him.
Yeah, so
they should have loved him and kissed
him. It's all nonsense. violence here again. Properly directed is very valid, but violence is the number one weapon.
Violence is a history of mankind. You read history, it's a history of violence. It's not a history of people loving each other and grabbing each other's fannies. It's a history of people smashing other people.
That reminds me, if you haven't been inducted into our core here, order that book, Might is Right. You got to read Might is Right before you do anything. I know we scare the hell out of you conservatives, but if you order Might is Right for $20 from War and read that, you'll know what we're talking about.
This is Robert out here in Cheyenne. Good message. You said a lot. I was born about 5 months after JFK got killed, and I'm a Bostonian, so I can tell you all about the Kennedys. Good message. You take care, buddy. Bye-bye.
Well, on TV and everything, they sure beat that Kennedy thing to death. You know, at the time, over 50%, maybe not 50% of the country hated his guts.
Oh, yeah. People used to hate him because of the way he pronounced Cuba.
They warned him not to come to Dallas.
Oh, yeah.
He already had been warned and the whole bit. So
that's the bad thing. That's the downside of violence, because I remember Kennedy, oh, both the Kennedys before they got killed, everybody hated him. Martin Luther King, people couldn't stand him. Like, my English teacher used to go off on him.
Yeah.
And then the minute he died, he became, you know, like Joan of Arc or something.
That's
know?
The hypocrisy.
You know, my English teacher would come out and just praise him. Just praise him.
Yeah, that's the guilt concept.
Yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, we're all guilty.
Yeah, Christian guilt bullshit. Yeah,
yeah. Right. It's sad. And, of course, now how many different stories they got about who did it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think Lyndon Johnson did it.
I think it was me.
And, well, if I'd have been a little more popular at the time or unpopular, I'd have probably been accused. They did. They wanted to round up the right wing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They kept saying, yeah.
Ribbicoff and Javits, all those Jews,
they
called immediately to round up all the right wing. And I don't mean the corporate leaders either. I mean us.
Yeah.
But they didn't. But anyhow. And then once that girlfriend of Lee Harvey Oswald said what she had to say, that pretty well clinched it to me, because Johnson was tied into the, you know, the military-industrial complex, the whole bit. It all fit. It didn't fit with Castro. It didn't fit just with the mob. But still, J. Edgar Hoover was all involved, and he was mixed up with the mob in a way. You know.
Yeah.
So anyhow, as far as I'm concerned, that's sort of funny, though, that Johnson iced him.
Well, you know, Johnson, if you think of Vietnam, he's the one that started the Phoenix Project.
Well, he really...
You know, I mean, that was his main thing in Vietnam, was assassination. What was it, like 20 or 30,000 Vietnamese that he hired the Green Beret to go there and just were assassins?
Yeah, and why not? He killed eight people himself. He had eight people murdered.
Oh, Johnson did?
Himself.
Yeah, he was assassination free.
He had a hitman that worked with him, and that they found the guy's fingerprint in the book depository.
But oh, really? Because I know, at least in Vietnam, he's killed, you know, like 30,000 people or more.
Yeah,
you know,
well, I taped that one, especially about him, and then also the girlfriend of Lee Harvey Oswald.
You mean the wife or the girlfriend?
Girlfriend.
Oh, the girlfriend.
He had a girlfriend.
Oh, he did?
And she lays it wide open that they met with Johnson's people, all this kind of stuff. And then they found his damn, the hitman for Johnson's fingerprint in the book depository.
Well, that's what Oliver Stone, that movie, I think it was Nixon, I don't think it was JFK, I think it was the Nixon movie. He basically implied in there that Nixon was afraid of Johnson because Nixon kind of suspected that Johnson had him hit. I don't remember if you saw the movie Nixon.
Yeah.
Where basically he was kind of implied that Richard Nixon was afraid of Johnson because he was thought Johnson had him whacked or something. You know?
Johnson, the way it looks, was almost like a Stalin.
Oh, yeah.
He
Machiavellian
was,
son of a
oh,
bitch.
Oh, man. You get into Texas, and that was, especially in Texas, they ran that place, you know, and there was all kinds of.
He's the one that started this. So-called civil rights movement, because Kennedy really didn't do anything to get shot.
He didn't
give
a shit about the blacks.
No.
I mean, it was all. In fact, during that time, he had black sharecroppers living on his property, living in hovel. They were living in shacks and drinking out of open wells and everything else. It's all bullshit, boys and girls.
Yeah.
Streams are swollen, keep them doggies rolling, roar through rain and wind and weather, hell bent for leather, wishing my girl was by my side. All the things I'm missing, good fiddles, love and kissing, are waiting at the end of my ride. Move 'em on, hit 'em up, hit 'em up, move 'em on, hit 'em up, raw high. Disapproving, keep them doggies moving, Lord. Don't try to understand them, just rope them through and brand them. Soon we'll be living high and wide. My heart's calculating, my true love will be waiting, be waiting at the end of my ride. Move them on, hit them up, hit them up, move them on, hit them up, raw high. Right, I'm in the
pretty good song.
Yeah, that was a great show, too.
Hey, I'll tell you another thing. There's some interesting lyrics there. Don't try to understand them, just rope and tie and brand them. That sounds sort of like the government treats us.
That's true.
Yeah. And,
the way we should treat them.
And I think we should use that, too. Don't try to understand them.
Are you saying that the government thinks we're cattle?
I think the government knows we're cattle.
You know
me. Uh-huh. That we knows we're cattle so far. But, you know, even a cow sometimes can get mean when it gets
cornered. Stampedes.
Yeah. Baby. It's time for a stampede.
Huh? Right.
Well, we're getting down to the end of the show, so we're going to talk it on out here. And don't forget to subscribe to the Big War Paper.
Yeah.
How do you think we afford all this tremendous amount of weapons of mass destruction? We got to have some money.
We didn't win the lottery?
We haven't won the lottery yet. The Mexicans are the only ones that win the lottery anymore, I'll tell you that. Well, anyhow, what you got going now? You're going to start a website?
Yeah, I was thinking about it.
On Odinism?
I was just thinking about maybe nude pictures of me.
We're going to... Nude pictures?
Yeah, probably on paganism.
Yeah, well, it sounds like the doctor's branching out here. He's going to get more... going to have more spooks on the net.
God, right.
Huh? God. What?
Spooks in cyberspace.
Oh, my goodness.
Spooks in the cyber sky.
Oh, here we go. So we'll see you next time, and we're going to close out here. Remember, white revolution is the only solution.
That's true.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.